It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
My generation was scarred by Emmett Till. We saw what was going to happen to us. We either change something or we are going to just go down the tubes. We saw Emmett.
Poet, writer, commentator, activist, educator, and university distinguished professor at Virginia Tech, Nikki Giovanni, discusses the past, present, and future of the civil rights movement at a benefit for legal aid held on September 13, 2012, at the Hippodrome Theater in historic Jackson Ward in Richmond. And during this week's News You Can Use, we'll tell you about the claim forms going out to about 47,000 Virginians as part of the national mortgage settlement. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 182, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Until September, all Virginia recipients of benefits under the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, formerly food stamps, got their debit card accounts replenished on the first day of each month. But, as of October, that no longer is the case. To improve recipients' access to high-quality products, the Virginia Department of Social Services now staggers when the benefits will be available during the first part of every month, providing benefits on the 1st, 4th, 7th, or 9th day of each month, depending on the client's case number. Under the old system, stores had a difficult time restocking fast enough to keep up with demand because of the huge volume of shoppers on the 1st of the month. Retailers have been pushing for the change for a long time, complaining that the old system didn't work for anyone, retailers and recipients alike. Many participants shop the first day they can because the average benefit, $129.55 a month, is not always enough to meet a family's nutritional needs. There are almost 443,000 cases or households on SNAP benefits in Virginia, representing about 918,000 individuals. The program has seen a 90% increase in Virginians on SNAP benefits since July 2007, when there were about 232,000 cases. In other news, Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli announced last month that claim forms are going out to approximately 46,600 Virginia borrowers who lost their homes to foreclosure between January 1, 2008 and December 31, 2011, and who may be eligible for payment under the $25 billion National Mortgage Foreclosure Settlement. Eligible borrowers had mortgages serviced by Ally GMAC, Bank of America, Citi, J.P. Morgan Chase, or Wells Fargo, the nation's five largest mortgage servicers. Forms mailed to qualified borrowers must be returned by January 18, 2013. In Virginia, packets containing a letter from the Attorney General, claim form, instructions, and answers to frequently asked questions are being mailed to eligible borrowers through October 12. Eligible Virginia borrowers should complete their claim forms and return them as soon as possible in the envelope provided, or file them online at www.nationalmortgagesettlement.com. Payment checks are expected to be mailed in mid-2013. The one-page claim forms are simple to complete. However, borrowers who have questions or need help filing their claims can contact the settlement administrator toll-free at 1-866-430-8358 or send questions by email to administrator@nationalmortgagesettlement.com. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's case that changed the Commonwealth is Evans versus Heckler. When Martin Evans applied for Social Security disability benefits, he was 55 years old, had a fifth-grade education, and had worked as an electrical foreman. He claimed disability due to bronchitis, pulmonary emphysema, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, hearing loss, headaches, nervousness, and a visual problem. His claim was denied by both the Social Security Administration and the United States District Court on grounds that he did not have a severe impairment that would prohibit work. On appeal, the United States Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit reversed and awarded benefits. The Fourth Circuit held that an impairment can be considered not severe only if it is a slight abnormality, which has such a minimal effect on the individual that it would not be expected to interfere with the individual's ability to work, regardless of age, education, or work experience. This has been the law ever since. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and Evans versus Heckler is this week's case that changed the Commonwealth.
How far has the civil rights movement come on the road to equality, and how far do we still have to go? Poet, writer, commentator, activist, educator, and university distinguished professor at Virginia Tech, Nikki Giovanni, discussed the past, present, and future of the civil rights movement at a benefit for legal aid held on September 13, 2012, at the Hippodrome Theater, and the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show was there. Here are the first half of Nikki Giovanni's remarks.
And we're in Virginia, for God's sake. Speaking of loving, you know, so it's like, well, the Negroes can get married now. Who can we pick on? Oh, let's pick on the gays. What is that? What is wrong with people? You have a right to your life. And it seems to me that this group, you are our gladiators. You are the people that are going to fight for the right, for us to have a right to our lives. You're the ones that understand we have to have education. That's, no matter what else we try to say, if you are not educated, everything else goes out the window. Then you have to have the right to vote. I am a Southerner. I remember people saying to black people that couldn't put three words together, interpret the Tennessee Constitution, interpret my family's from Georgia, interpret the Constitution. These people couldn't put, don't even get me upset. And now we're going to say, well, we have to make sure that nobody's stealing the ballot. The people that are stealing the ballot are the people that are preventing us from voting. Why is it that I can take a credit card, a regular credit card, it's got a stripe on the back, right? I can take this credit card and I can go to Washington, D.C. I'm a little old lady. I go to Neiman Marcus, we swipe it and I get some clothes. I go to a steakhouse and I swipe and I eat. I decide, oh, what the hell, it's really going to be pretty in Paris. I go to the airport, I have my passport, which is not a privilege but a right. That would be another discussion. They look at it, we swipe it, I get on a plane and I go to Paris. You say, oh, Nick, you having a good time? I am, because I got credit and I can use it. And I go to Paris and I check in because I'm having a wonderful weekend at the George Sank. What the hell, swipe it. You know what they say when I do that? Approved. Because they know, oh, I'm in Paris now. And then I leave Paris and I think, I think I'll go down to Botswana because it's really pretty in the Kalahari this time of year. I go to Botswana and they swipe and they say, Nikki's in Botswana. Do you see what I'm saying? They know where I am. Why don't we have a voting card that does the same thing? Why is it that my credit can find me anywhere in the world and know where I should be, and my bank, which gives me my credit, knows where I am. But I can't vote like that. I have to show up someplace to be insulted by somebody. What kind of sense does that make? We can do something different. And a part of it is we have to quit being afraid. The kids did something. You said, what did they do? They were sick of being scared. My generation was scarred by Emmett Till. We saw what was going to happen to us. We either change something or we are going to just go down the tubes. We saw Emmett. And of all of the things, and we didn't see that there, because the film was just showing what was going on in Birmingham. That's going to be 8 years later. But we saw the horror of it, and it scared the hell out of us. And we could either give in to that fear or make a change. And I applaud all of the white people who came and joined us. I applaud Cheney and Goodman and Swerner. Well, Cheney's black, but Swerner and Goodman were white. I applaud the people that came to Reverend Reeves. I applaud Viola Luisa. And people said, well, why were they there? Because we recognized somebody needed to do something. And we needed to stop those boys that we saw, those stupid white boys who had nothing in life but the fact that they were not black. What kind of nightmares do they have that all they can dream about is, I am not black? That's an insanity. And we freed black people. It was good that we didn't have to be bothered with people doing things to us, but it was even better that those white boys could now say, I don't have to hate anymore. I can go and do something else with my life. I wrote a poem because I had the privilege of knowing Mrs. Parks and because I loved her so much. She was a lot of fun. People forget that. And we saw that just a brief picture of Rosa because we're all dealing with Martin. I'm a big fan of Martin. And at one point, you know, the Catholic Church was considering making him a saint. And I don't know why people call me, because I never give good answers. But they don't. They have something called the devil's advocate, as you know. And so they called and said, you know, Dr. Giovanni, you know, I'm the devil, you know, and they told me who they were. We're considering making Martin a saint. I said, it works for me. Yeah, I mean, I loved it. Well, what about? I said, no, I don't do whatabouts. I'm not interested in his sex life. But that's not what's important. I'm tired of people getting in people's bedrooms, so gonna get government off of our backs, but they're getting him right back into the bedroom. It doesn't make sense. Martin couldn't have been Martin without Rosa. And Mrs. Parks, probably one of the most self-contained people. She's funny. Nobody really knows that she had a great sense of humor. She contained herself for 50 years. You know, if Mrs. Parks had blown her nose and dropped the tissue on the ground, you know, inquiring minds want to know, why is Rosa Parks a litter bug? And they would have just, you know, done horrible things to her if they could have. She was under a microscope all of those years and watching how she conducted her business. I mean, it was just incredible. She was 42 years old, for those of you who are young. And for those of you who are not that age, 42 is a great year. You have to remember Marian Anderson, when she sang at the Lincoln Memorial, was 42 years old. I grew up just dying to be 42. Obviously, this is it. This is where you come into your womanhood. Rosa Parks was a beautiful woman, and we see her a lot as an older woman. Nothing wrong with being old. I like old. I'm 69. But Rosa was a beautiful woman. And so she had a lot of other things to negotiate in terms of how she conducts herself. And you just have to admire. I've always admired the way black women conduct their business. A black maid will get dressed and go to work. She put on her stockings and her high heels and go to work and put on her uniform. I love that. White people look like, oh, I work and I get dirty. We didn't do that. You saw the buses. You saw the help. You saw the help. And you saw what they did. It's such a nice thing to be black, and I'm going to certainly recommend it.
You've been listening to Nikki Giovanni discussing the past, present, and future of the civil rights movement at a benefit for Legal Aid held on September 13, 2012, at the Hippodrome Theater. We'll be back in a moment. We continue now with the remarks of Nikki Giovanni about the civil rights movement in Virginia, how far it has come on the road to equality, and how far we still have to go, at a benefit for Legal Aid held on September 13, 2012, at the Hippodrome Theater.
I wrote a poem for Rosa Parks. This is for the Pullman Porters who organized when people said they couldn't and carried the Pittsburgh Courier and the Chicago Defenders of the Black Americans in the South so that they would know they were not alone. This is for the Pullman Porters who helped Thurgood Marshall go south and come back north to fight the fight that resulted in Brown versus the Board of Education. Because even though Kansas is west, and even though Topeka is the birthplace of Gwendolyn Brooks, who wrote The Powerful, the Chicago Defender sends a man to Little Rock. It was the Pullman Porters who whispered to the traveling men, both the blues men and the race men, so that they both would know they were not alone. This is for the Pullman Porters who smiled as if they were happy and laughed like they were tickled when some folk were around, and who silently rejoiced in 1954 when the Supreme Court announced its 9-0 decision that separate is inherently unequal. This is for the Pullman Porters who smiled and welcomed a 14-year-old boy onto their train in 1955. They noticed his slight limp that he tried to disguise with a doo-wop walk. They noticed his stutter and probably understood why his mother wanted him out of Chicago during the summer when school was out. 14-year-old black boys with limps and stutters are apt to try to prove themselves in dangerous ways when mothers aren't around to look after them. So this is for the Pullman Porters who looked over that 14-year-old while the train rolled the reverse of the Blues Highway from Chicago to St. Louis to Memphis to Mississippi. This is for the men who kept him safe. And if Emmett Till had been able to stay on that train all summer, he would have probably grown a bit of a paunch, certainly lost his hair, probably have worn bifocals, and bounced his grandchildren on his knee, telling them about his summer riding the rails. But he had to get off that train and ended up in Money, Mississippi, and was horribly, brutally, inexcusably, and unacceptably murdered. This is for the Pullman Porters, who, when the sheriff was trying to get the body secretly buried, got Emmett's body on the northbound train, got his body home to Chicago, where his mother said, "I want the world to see what they did to my boy." And this is for all the mothers who cried, and this is for all the people who said, "Never again." And this is about Rosa Parks, whose feet were not so tired. It had been, after all, an ordinary day until the bus driver gave her the opportunity to make history. This is about Mrs. Rosa Parks from Tuskegee, Alabama, who was also the field secretary of the NAACP. This is about the moment Rosa Parks shouldered her cross, put her worldly goods aside, and was willing to sacrifice her life so that that young man in Money, Mississippi, who had been so well protected by the Pullman Porters, would not have died in vain. When Mrs. Parks said no, a passionate movement was begun. No longer would there be a reliance on the law. There was a higher law. When Mrs. Parks brought that light of hers to expose the evil of the system, the sun came and rested on her shoulders, bringing the heat and light of truth. Others would follow Mrs. Parks. Four young men in Greensboro, North Carolina, would also say no. Great voices would be raised, singing the praises of God and exhorting us to forgive those who trespass against us. But it was the Pullman Porters who safely got Emmett to his grand uncle, and it was Mrs. Rosa Parks who could not stand that death, and not being able to stand it, she sat back down. Writing is the quintessential, if I may, existential situation. So you're always finding your voice. I think the most difficult thing about this profession, because I am a poet as opposed to, say, John is a novelist, and novelists take a point of view and they can do different things. I think poets have to continue to grow, and I think that means we continually have a contradiction because you keep learning something. And so while you're sharing what you're sharing, you're always at risk of sounding foolish and things like that. You get over that one pretty quickly. And of course, one of the things that I envy you, your profession on, is that you have an organized mind. So there's not a one of you in this room, having gone through law school, that wouldn't be a great writer if you had a muse. I mean, it's just it's what you do. Almost any of you, of course, as you know, and you've seen enough of that, are great in the theater. Your training, you know, has allowed you to do a number of things. I think the joy, I admire, as I said earlier, I think of you as gladiators, and Adonai, maybe we look at gladiators differently. I mean, I'm a big fan of Spartacus. You know, Spartacus was a black guy, and I didn't resent Kirk Douglas playing him, but, you know, ha. You know, you stand for something. And I think that you find your voice as you go forward. The one thing that you can't, and I'm always amazed that lawyers allow people to do this, you deal in a win and loss. And if you think about it, Justice Taney won. So the Dred Scott decision became one of the dumbest damn pieces of crap in the world. No, I mean, Dred Scott was terrible, and Taney was terrible to do that. And we got it just a little bit better. You do Plessy and Ferguson. That was just not a good decision. We had come back to Earl Warren, at least, you know, a lot of people had, not a lot, but a couple of people needed to die, and they did, so there is a God. And so Warren got the 9-0 decision on Brown. And this was, I think, very good, but something else is coming, because that's an arc. And from Dred Scott to Brown is a movement. But there's something else, and just somebody like me, I was talking about just finding, you know, you have to say it. Somebody needs to say it, and so it doesn't ever sort of bother me that nobody's going to sue over the draft, but something needs to happen, because Truman had the sense to integrate, or actually desegregate, the armed forces, and that was the way that we got to know each other. Rich people and poor people don't know each other anymore. Black people and white people don't really know each other. We only know the people that move in our circles, and the armed forces was a great leveler, because people got to know each other, and all of a sudden, you know, we didn't have tails anymore. And you guys, as lawyers, have got to quit thinking of, I won a case. Every time you go up and represent something, you shouldn't win. Some of these people need to be, something else needs to happen. And you're getting them to do whatever does not necessarily help us. Am I making sense? And that's why people hold you. No, it's why, and people feel the same way about poets too. But it's such an honor to represent the best of us. And that's what the law has to represent. Poets represent the dreams. But you represent the best of us. And the best of us has to have some direction. And that can't be just, oh, I won. It has to be, I did a good job. And I mean no disrespect. It's just, y'all have to continue to do better. Because right now, we have questions on the floor of war and peace, of poverty, of how we spread out the good that is America. We need somebody to tell the story. And I mentioned that there's just a million stories out there that have to be told, because we are, as our Constitution, a living entity. America is a living entity. And if we stop growing, we're going to be dead, and that's going to be sad to everybody.
You've been listening to Nikki Giovanni discussing the past, present, and future of the civil rights movement at a benefit for legal aid held on September 13, 2012, at the Hippodrome Theater. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's Strange But True Law is from Title 62.1, which deals with waters of the state, ports, and harbors. Under Code of Virginia Section 62.1-190, it is unlawful for any person or corporation to dredge, dig, or otherwise remove and carry away any part of any deposit of sand and or gravel, or mixture of sand and gravel from any part of a beach or bluff, abutting upon any of the rivers, streams, or other waters within the jurisdiction of the Commonwealth, or from any part of the bed of such rivers, streams, or other waters between high and low watermarks. Read completely, literally, and strictly. This means it is illegal to build a sandcastle on the beach. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and that's this week's Strange But True Law.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral for, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Is equal justice really possible when low-income people do not have equal access to an attorney in a civil case? Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when the Executive Director of Blue Ridge Legal Services, John Whitfield, describes just how much better litigants do in court with a lawyer than without one, and what this means for equal justice in a rebroadcast of a show originally heard on March 16, 2011. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright. Mando.